So as usual, we have some business to take care of, but I thought we might do that till later in the call and find out how it's going out there with the groups and what people are noticing, either about the groups or about the facilitation process, or we'll look at for a little while.
And Dave, I just want to say too that there were two emails that came in today with questions from Tony and Janet, so you didn't get a chance to get those, so maybe Tony and Janet could just remember to bring those up.
Okay, when we get to the business part. Okay, excellent.
I'll start. This is Tracy.
Tracy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Okay, good. You know, it's so interesting. I had just one person show up at my group last week, and everyone in my group so far are people that I, you know, that I know. I haven't really kind of put it out to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found this last week was she was the only one there, and it was her first time, and so I kind of oriented her, you know, to kind of how the privileged environment would be. And you know, we did the reading, and I facilitated her. And there was a moment, or there were moments where, like after the reading, like she said to me, well, you know, what's Sherry pointing at here? You know, the whole difference between right and wrong. And, you know, my kind of reply was, you know, I don't know what Sherry's pointing to. And, you know, in this practice, you know, we're just encouraged to look at, you know, see what causes us to suffer. And if we can drop that and end suffering. And it was kind of like, I don't know, it was just one of those moments where it's like I'm in a different role than I'm normally with these people. There's only one person there. The privileged environment's a little bit unique. And, you know, they're not, it's like we're still trying to feel out, like they're trying to feel out, like, what am I getting from this and what are we doing and what are we? And so just, you know, kind of after that, you know, I felt kind of like I just needed to say, you know, and then she was like, well, are there other people going to be here or is it just going to be me? Or, and, you know, I felt like I just needed to, you know, name that, you know, this is, you know, I'm new at this and I'm, you know, building the group and, you know, getting comfortable in my role. And so it was just, I mean, it felt like there needed to be a little bit of a bridge between, you know, the role and the newness of it. And I would just love to kind of put it out there and see if other people are finding that or, you know, what some, you know, I have the inner sense of just trusting that everything is totally great and it's going to be fine. And I was just really excited to maybe get some Sangha support of going like, oh, yeah, it's a little odd too.
Yeah, I bet you anything you're not the only one at all, Tracy. Before we put out the groups, let me ask you, how did it go when you did that?
You know, it went fine. Then she went on and she got really identified. She's like, oh, my gosh, you have no idea how much I've been wanting this and looking for it and blah, 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 blah. Like, so she got really identified with the one who just really wanted so much to be there. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if she shows up again next week. Yeah, I mean, she's showing a lot of excitement and everything for it. And it just seemed a little harder to maintain. Like, she kept wanting to jump out of the privileged environment since it was just her. You know, and I felt like I kept having to say, I really appreciate you being here, and I'm glad that, you know, we had this time to kind of orient you. And I just want to remind you next week when you come in, you know, we're going to be in silence and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it just feels like there's little bridges that kind of need to happen right now.
Yeah, because it's like you're building something from scratch.
Yeah.
Let's see what other people think. I bet you anything you're not unique in that situation. Other people have input or comments about that?
Well, this is Karen, and I definitely feel some, for me, I there's a little bit of awkwardness for me, and I keep reminding myself that I keep saying to myself, you know, I'm learning to do this, and so somehow that feels like it takes a lot of pressure off of me because I'm just feeling my way along with everybody else and with the support and all, but still. When the group is happening, it's me sitting there facilitating, and it is, I definitely, there's a big learning curve going on right now.
Yeah, and to remember that you're learning, you say, takes the, really take the pressure off you.
Yes. Yep. Because I'm not supposed to be, I'm not supposed to be expert. I'm not supposed to know everything. I'm just learning a lot each week, and a lot of questions come up, and I'm kind of living for these phone calls for the support, actually. That's how I feel.
It's really, I can see how challenging it would be. So you're starting to be new with people you know, they've never had the experience before, have no modeling of what the privileged environment is about or about what the practice is about or how to share in group or any of that. So you're kind of starting by scratch, building something new, and I could see how it'd be really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like maybe you're having a little bit of fun, too, huh?
Yeah.
Who else?
Hi, this is Karen Meichler.
Karen Meichler.
Well, from a person who's been facilitating for some time now, I can really relate to these observations, because there are things that I continually experience after many years of practice.
That are along the lines of what people are talking about?
Yes.
Hmm.
So,
like what?
The newness, the what shall I do, and I continue to come back to the reflective listening part of it. And just to reflect back to the person that's in front of me.
Uh-huh. So, Karen, what have you learned to do over time with those kind of awkward situations, like maybe where you have somebody who's brand new and doesn't kind of get what's expected? Or do you have any tips for working with that?
Well, it's a matter of faith. And if I can just reflect back what I'm hearing, that's all that I need to do in that moment.
So even if somebody is like having a difficulty of some kind or not understanding what's going on, mm-hmm. something like that, you might just reflect back to them, and that seems like, and to sort of have the faith that will take care of it, and it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And that's why I think these calls are so important for the new people, that they can hear that there's really nothing else to do but that. I mean, I didn't have the calls when I started. So
yeah.
It's just kind of like reflect back, and then, there we are.
Huh. You're finding that just really sticking to the reflective listening is what it's all about.
Well, that's in my experience.
In your experience.
And,
mm-hmm.
and the person in front of me doesn't really have to know what I'm going through.
Right. Right. Interesting. Are there other points of view? Other experience?
Dave, this is Rebecca. I had three new people come, and I found this past week, and I found that it was much easier to stick to the reflective listening and the, well, let me put it this way. It was much easier to kind of keep to the silence with, there were three of them, even though they were all new, than when I just had one new person.
Yeah, I bet. I could really see how that would work.
Yeah, and so when I just had the one new person, she wanted to ask questions about the practice, and you know, because she was the one that was brand new, and I went ahead and answered them. I made several times the point of talking about the privileged environment and all that, but I didn't just reflect her questions. I actually answered some of them. So, and you know, and I don't, you know, I don't think that did any damage.
Well, it seems,
but
like,
you know, this. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm getting is, as you're talking and as the other Karens were talking, is, you know, it's kind of an in the moment kind of sort of a thing. You know, we set up this structure that we're trying to follow. And, you know, our guideline is that what we're doing is well, actually, our we're not trying to take just a reflective listening necessarily, but that is sort of the backbone of what we do. And yet, it's an in-the-moment kind of thing, so it depends on the situation. Like you're saying, have one person there is really different from having three people there, and you just sort of have to look to the moment to see, you know, kind of what is the most compassionate thing for all in this situation.
Yeah, yeah. And the interesting thing, the reason I kind of laughed when I said stick with, is when the three people were there and it was time to open it up for facilitated discussion, nobody said anything. And so I just kind of got to sit there and watch all this stuff come up within me. It was really, really probably one of the most fascinating, you know, few minutes of my practice, because it's just so fun to see everything that came up about why these people aren't saying anything, you know. And yeah, and then after a while, you know, when it became, you know, to me, when it seemed time to me, I just, you know, led them through kind of the, well, let's appreciate the person that came here, and, you know, did the little closing sort of centering thing, and then they all beautifully left in silence. And I thought, well, I'll never see them again. You know, no one will ever come back. You know that. And then I got an email from one of them who said how grateful she was that she had been appreciating Sherry Huber's work for like decades, all on her own out here, and she's so happy to find someone else to appreciate Sherry's work with. You know, and so I thought that was really cool.
That is really cool. That is really cool. It causes me to wonder, do we have anything set up in our orientation to kind of orient people to, like, how that part of the evening works, and, like, how to share and how to raise their hands and all that? Or,
well, yeah, I mean, I kind of covered that, you know. I talked about, you know, what they are welcome to bring up anything, and my job is kind of, you know, to reflect and to really be as pure mirror, and, you know, and how to make Gus show to so that I know that you want to talk, and, you know, all that.
Yeah, but it's just they had nothing to add.
Well, I can tell you all my projections if you want, but I doubt it.
Boy,
hey Dave.
Yeah, I was just going to comment. It sure is a practice opportunity, isn't it?
It sure was.
Jen?
Dave, this is Jen. Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. I was just going to say, as I was listening to people, what I was just realizing for myself is that so much of that kind of awkwardness or, you know, just question that comes up in facilitation is simply addressed with time, just over time, having the experience over and over, having different kinds of experiences, having, you know, being in a situation and finding out what works and what doesn't work, and just realizing that a lot of it is just simply, much like practice, a lot of it is just simply showing up over time.
Yeah, that's actually a really nice thing, you know, that it isn't like we're not making a rule book here that we're all trying to follow, but, you know, we really are kind of looking to the moment, to whatever experience we have. And it's nice that it's not a contest, and it's not like there's standards or expectations, and that we do have the space to do what you're saying, you know, to kind of get in there over time and see what happens and sort of build our experience so we have more and more places to go to respond to whatever situations arise.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I really appreciate people bringing up all the different scenarios, because that's the way that we gain that experience, is hearing from other people. So, you know, it's like then I suddenly find myself in that situation. I remember, we talked about that on the call, and here I am in that situation.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because, I mean, the element of time, I think, affects a lot of the aspects of it. You know, same, you know, if like in those people in Rebecca's group, if they do come back, over time, they'll get how it works, you know, and
exactly.
Probably will learn how to share and how to participate. And another thing that occurred to me, too, is, you know, we're right at the very beginning of this thing, and I bet over time, you know, it will become, for each group, it'll become an established thing that people will know about, and there might be sort of like a base, like a group base of experience that will be there that will assist with, you know, when new people arrive. So it might be, you know, there's some clunkiness now, just because we're getting started, it might get smoothed out later.
Yeah, exactly. And just that, I appreciate that point that was made too about you never know what people are getting. You just can't know. I mean, we have people who come to the monastery and then we don't see them again. And, you know, 8 years later they pop up and they've been following along the whole time. We just didn't know it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and remute myself.
Okay, thanks for jumping in.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
This is Margaret.
Margaret.
I was just, as these folks are sharing, I just recalled that I never shared, I don't think, anything for 6 months about, you know, I kept coming every week. And I
what you're saying is Rebecca's really going to have a practice opportunity.
It sounds like it if they're all like me. But it was, I loved actually hearing what everybody else shared and everything. But I just, you know, it took me quite a while to want to share. And this was, of course, in a different setting of a more formal, you know, meditation group. But still, that was my experience. And then the other thing I wanted to share was that sometimes when I'm looking at things, it's like there's a part of me there that it's really almost more helpful for me to say to that part of myself that I don't want to look at, and then share that because and so I mean sometimes as facilitators I actually say that to the group if there's a really long silence, you know, in Palo Alto or something, I'll say so what is it that you don't want to look at? Or, you know, how are you, and maybe that doesn't apply to these groups because they're so new to it, but it's usually elicits a laugh or humor in our.
Yeah, I could see how that would be really funny. Yeah, it might kind of spark somebody and say, oh, I can see what's going on with me. I just kind of plugged up here with a little bit of resistance that I have.
Exactly. And that's where I go to in that, is that it me see that there is something stopping me. So.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, and that's what's the best thing to share, actually.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yep, that's great. Well, and it takes, like you're saying, the first point you're making, you know, it takes a lot of guts to share, especially if you're brand new. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Just to kind of put yourself out there in that way in a brand new environment.
Well, yeah, maybe at that time for me it was, but, you know, it was great just to be there and participate and hear what everybody else was looking at and,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Dave, this is Ann.
Ann, mm-hmm.
First, I want to say I'm sorry I couldn't make it last week, and I listened to the call, and it was just excellent. So I just want to encourage anybody who wasn't able to be on the call last week to listen to it because I just found it incredibly amazing. But when Margaret said that about not talking for 6 months, it reminded me that I had the same exact experience. I mean, my experience – and I actually had forgotten until Margaret said that. And so I think that's why I wanted to say something, because I think it's easy, at least for me, to forget what it's like to walk into a group when you've never been to one before.
Yeah.
It's like a foreign country. And I remember being absolutely petrified to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I would go to these groups and I just what people would say. And so there were a lot of people in that situation. And I remember at one point, we would have these groups, and Sherry would say, well, what do you want to look at? And nobody would say anything. So finally what she did was, which I thought was incredibly skillful, she said, let me ask you this. What's your experience when I ask you what would you like to look at tonight? Because nobody was saying anything, and that opened up this whole discussion about how terrified people were to say anything.
Yeah, that's like Sherry Huber.
It was a great facilitation move. But
yeah.
I didn't even remember it till Margaret said that about not speaking for 6 months.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's neat.
That's all.
Thanks, Ann. So other people on that topic or different topics?
Well, Dave, this is Karen A.
Karen A.
I had two things that, let me ask this. In the group, I had one gentleman that, you know, I did the reading and all that, and he immediately jumped to the Taliban and people chopping off hands and how can that not be wrong, and you know, it was challenging. I reflected it, and
but it just felt like it felt it wasn't going in a good direction, and I don't know. I mean, pardon?
You've got an interesting group of people up there where you live, don't you?
Yeah. And what you know, I used one of the moves we talked about last week, and I said, well, let's see what other people are seeing, and then when I was sitting there, and I remembered that last part about you know, the voice in your head isn't God; it just thinks it is.
Uh-huh.
And I was just sitting there, and I just thought about that with the Taliban, and I said, so is anybody seeing anything about this? And I reread that statement, you know, in regards to what we've been, you know, what people have been talking about. Is anybody seeing that? And but I felt like I was really kind of leading the witness, but it just, you know, in the moment, it just came up, and it felt like a really great example of what, of that, you know,
yeah,
the Taliban. And it led to a lot of discussion about that.
Well, it really felt like it worked to kind of focus the energy and maybe keep it from going into a place that wouldn't be helpful.
Yeah. But I guess what I'm asking is sometimes I have that feeling like I'm leading the witness because I'm, you know, I'm looking at something else in the reading and trying to somehow tie this together so that we can see it in a different light. And, you know, it's not just reflecting, but it is the, I guess, asking questions. Does that seem appropriate and okay? I'm just not sure.
Well, I'll tell you my off the hip reply to that, and then other people could speak to it too. But, you know, really, like we're seeing before, it really isn't in the moment kind of a thing. You know, what occurred to me as you were saying that is, you know, you're the only one in the room who has any experience really with kind of what we're trying to do and what we're going for.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have a lot of support in the room, then, you know, it probably would be pretty easy to stick to reflective listening. But I could easily imagine there'd be times where you do have to sort of, you know, lead the witness a little bit. I mean, we lead the witness all the time in what we do. Because, you know, like, especially around, like, right now we're doing There's Nothing Wrong With the Retreat, and almost everybody's a beginner, and you have to. You know, there's no way to reflectively listen your way through that retreat.
Okay.
You know, of course, we are trying to you know, to not, we don't want to become the teachers of the group. You know, we want to actually feel like that we have, you know, some kind of answer we're trying to provide or some kind of experience we're trying to provide or really actually, you know, guide what they're seeing. But that seems really different from what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, it felt different. I just asked if anybody could see, you know, I just asked because to me it looks so blatant.
Well, I'm totally making up about what you're saying based on what you said is that you had a concern. You could kind of feel that this was heading in a troublesome direction, and you found sort of a skillful way to focus the attention of the group and sort of direct the conversation in a way that would keep it on the topic and also like take it in a way that would work for the group instead of be disruptive to the group.
Yeah, it was. It felt kind of like a last-ditch effort to somehow back out of that conversation and somehow, because it was a depressing conversation and also I wouldn't have known how to answer that actually, even if I was a teacher, I didn't really know how to answer that because it is difficult when we see that. That's a difficult place to practice. And, you know, to have to look at those kinds of things and know they're going on and yet try to, you know, come from a place that there's nothing wrong and act out of a place of there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, so I think it sounds like what you did was you were able to find a way to assist the group process that was going on, the group energy, without leaving your role as the facilitator.
I hope so. But I find sometimes what's happening to me when these things come up is it's like if something, if it starts going in a direction like that, that I, that, well, it's like I can start hearing kind of in that internal, I guess it's my conditioning, like, uh-oh, you know, it's hard to stay present because then I feel like I'm kind of, I'm trying to stay with the person, but I'm scrambling a little bit because I'm realizing in that moment that this is not, this isn't going to be helpful. This isn't helpful. And not feeling yet like I have the skills to make it go in a helpful direction.
Yeah, and, but getting some really good experience really fast, aren't you?
It feels like it. Feels like it.
Let's open this up. Did anyone else have comments about this from their own experience?
Dave, this.
Tony.
Yes, this is so like my the question that I wrote in, because so I have I anyway. That the line about there's nothing wrong in the universe, one of my people went on about Stalin and Hitler and, you know, all the violence in the world. And so I tried reflecting, and she didn't want to, I mean, she's trying to be open, and but she's like, she just really couldn't, she's having a hard time with that.
Uh-huh.
And so I kept trying, and it felt like, you know, the energy was going in a very intellectual, you know, just not in a good direction. So I was kind of like a little bit of scramble, like, uh-oh, you know, this doesn't feel like it's going very well. And so what I did, I said, well, let me throw this out there. And I said, there is nothing wrong with you, just to the group. And then, I mean, honestly, it seemed like it really made things more personal. People shared more from their heart. But I got pretty beaten up by self-hate for doing that. Like, you know, I was really out of line, and I was not honoring where they were. And so I don't know. I'm, you know, just was kind of wrestling with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, something I've noticed is that conditioning always beats us up for being in the moment and kind of responding to the moment.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? Do you think that might have been what was going on?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think that it, because I think, you know, I told myself, okay, I'm just going to do pure reflective listening. I'm really going to, you know, just like I was on a reflective listening buddies call, you know, just really stick with it. And so... and I didn't, so it's, yeah, so I don't know if it's just I didn't live up to the standard, or I really was in the moment. I know it's a vulnerability. I keep seeing it, and that's usually, you know, I get the most self-hate when I'm vulnerable.
Yeah. And, you know, we can face all the kind of things we really want to be vulnerable, or, you know, like in this case, you know, take responsibility, because, you know, it sounds like that's very much what you're trying to do. I mean, to stick to a rule in a situation like I'm only going to do reflective listening in a situation where it feels to you like that's not what's called for,
mm-hmm.
you know, that wouldn't really be of service to the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's helpful, because I did feel like, you know, when you said assisting in the group energy, that felt like that was what I wanted to do, was, you know, keep the energy, I don't know what the words are really, but just, you know, not go into an intellectual direction.
Yeah, you were trying to take responsibility for, you know, we might say the success of the group that evening.
Yeah, and for, to direct the focus a little bit more for all of us inside,
uh-huh.
and not just out there in, you know, Stalin and Hitler, and to try to encourage them to look to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like that's what we have to do, you know? We have to respond to what we feel like is the best for all in whatever circumstance. And, you know, sometimes it's going to go super. You know, it's really going to be obvious that was the thing to do. Sometimes it's not going to go so well. But
mm-hmm.
either way, we don't deserve a beating. you know, because now this is some high level stuff we're talking about here, and I don't know if we knew we were getting into this. These some pretty high level situations out there, and so you know, people really have to respond from the moment, and you know, anybody who's willing to do that, it's a very courageous and generous thing to do. Doesn't deserve a beating.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I've been working with it, and I've done pretty well to not, you know, just spiral down, and just try to keep practicing with it.
Yeah, well,
but
that's the bottom line. I think I was just thinking that too. Is, you know, it's just a great big practice opportunity. Is all it is, and it sounds like it's a so a great big way to see how we cause ourselves to suffer and see what conditioning is all about, and to find ways to take care of ourselves in the middle of all that.
Right, yeah. Well, and these calls are a big way of helping take care.
Great.
So thank you. Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Somebody else had a comment, too, but I didn't catch who it was.
David. Deanna?
Oops.
Deanna. Hi. I guess, yeah, I wanted to talk about this point because, you know, when you said what we do at the monastery is reflective listening, I kind of went, what we do? My perception, I guess, is, and some of the folks who come to my group have also gone to see Sherry when she comes to town, and I was really feeling like with the monks and with Sherry, I'm heard, but reflected through the eyes or the glasses of a Zen perception. So when I come to reflect the people in the room, and I'm only reflecting purely, I do have a voice that kind of goes, wow, I'm not adding anything. I'm a mirror, but I'm not adding. And the monks and Sherry enormously add. So I've had two reactions. One is I love it because I don't add anything. And I seem to be teaching myself that the people in the room are really sufficient to whatever's happening in their life. So I get this big dose of, wow, I don't have to add anything. But then I have this other voice that says, I'm not adding anything, and projecting that they want the Sherry, you know, they want the Sherry magic.
Yeah, that's a great question. Rather than answering myself, just to spread it around a little bit, I wonder if I can ask one of the other monks to answer that for us, if anybody has a reply to that.
Dave? This is Karen Meichler. I'm not a monk at the monastery, but I can really speak to that.
Okay, great. Go for it.
If I can. It's a matter of just relaxing into the moment and letting go of those voices that want me to be anything different than what's happening in the moment.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So
it's just a matter of letting go of the voices.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When I facilitate on the cushion, you know, I reflect as much as I can, and then there are times when other things arise that are said out of my mouth that I don't plan for, and then that's when the magic happens.
Uh-huh. Yep. And so what you're finding is when you let go of the voices, you can sort of be open to whatever is there that's appropriate to say or do.
Yes, and to trust that whatever happens when I'm on the cushion is appropriate to that moment, no matter what the voices are saying to me.
Yeah, I think that's really true, too. And it's a good place for us to have our attention, I think, because you know, we do want to, I think everything you're saying is true, and we do want to keep a heads up about sort of where we are in our, like, in our training as facilitators and kind of, and what our roles are. Because, of course, for, you know, for someone who has not had a lot of facilitation training to attempt to add a lot to what people are saying or to attempt to steer people in a certain way, that would be a little bit sketchy, you know, like, you know, Deanna a minute ago was talking about the, you know, her experience with the monks here, and of course, you know, we have had an immense amount of training in order to be able to do that. You know, so like, you know, reflecting, I think Deanna said something like reflecting in terms of the practice or in terms of Zen. You know, I know for myself, I facilitated a lot in, you know, when right after I started. And I facilitated, I was telling somebody this the other day, I facilitated for 2 years without ever doing anything but pure reflective listening.
Mm.
And then finally, I would have kept going, but Sherry finally said, you know, you might want to branch out a little. But, but it just felt like I really wanted to get, although I don't know how conscious I was at the time, but I really wanted to get grounded in reflective listening, because, you know, a big part of our training, facilitation training around here is, you know, getting out of the way, you know, not bringing agendas to things, not trying to take care of people, to try to help people, to try to get people to get anywhere. And those kind of things are really, 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 really subtle. And it takes a lot of practice on the cushion to kind of see what we might be bringing to it that we're not really aware of. And that practice mm-hmm. still goes on. So it seems like there's it's an interesting practice place in here where, because both those things are true, you know, we respond to what's there, and we have to have the freedom to respond to what's there, or else we'll just be kind of living in a world of rules. And at the same time, we have to kind of have in our awareness sort of where we are and a sense of kind of what's expected of us and what's appropriate for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and throughout this whole conversation tonight, it's like we're really not going to do it wrong. We just, it's like we're as present as we can be, and to mm-hmm. trust that.
Yeah, Karen, this is Jen. I was just driving on the property as that question was posed, so I was really trying to run to the phone to answer, because it is a great question. And one of the things that I was saying about it, in addition to all the things that have been said so far, is to remember that when we're practicing, we need all different kinds of input and facilitation and practice opportunities. You know, certainly, I mean, going on retreat with Sherry is not the same thing as, you know, going on retreat with the monks is not the same thing as reflective listening buddies, is not the same thing as the radio show. You know, they're all different kinds of ways of being. And I remember when the second retreat I did was a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And I was in the camp of not knowing that Sherry wasn't going to facilitate it, and getting here and being very disappointed that who were these people sitting in the front of the room? My first retreat had been a retreat in Carmel with Sherry. And I remember by the end of the week saying, I mean, just being really grateful for that, because I could see that even at that early stage in practice that it would be easy for me to attach practice with Sherry Huber. And so I was really grateful for the experience of just these two random strangers to me who did this amazing job in facilitating for the week. And so I think that's neat that people get to have all those different experiences, and one isn't necessarily more important than the other, you know.
And, yeah, I think a part of what you're saying is we kind of learn from all of them,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of get our modeling from all of them, and that's a part of the experience that we gather.
Yeah. And that in being willing to sit up there in the front of the room in front of one, two, whatever number of people, that is intense modeling. Being willing to take the risk that and be okay with whatever comes your way and just doing your gosh darn best to field it in the best you can. I mean, that's huge, because most people in the room, I mean, that's probably the most powerful thing they're going to get, is that you're doing a practice that gives you the skill to be able to do that. I mean, it's huge to be willing to do that. You know, we've said it many times, but in some ways what the folks who are doing the key groups are doing is the highest level there is of what facilitators are doing.
I sure am getting that. Yeah, and I think mm-hmm. you know, that was coming up for me a lot, is hearing people talk too. It's just the guts it takes, but and how wonderful it is that that people can see someone who's willing to make that kind of commitment, no matter what happens. You know, even if you know, or maybe even especially if you're sitting up front of the room waiting for people to talk who don't want to talk. You know, that's, you know, someone who's willing to stick through that is you know, is someone to look up to.
Dave, this is Jan.
Jan, you might have to speak up a little bit, Jan.
Okay, is that loud enough?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, I just wanted to comment that the couple examples that were brought up seem to really bring home, I mean, this, you're right, this is, the examples brought up, I think, are high level for facilitating. And what they sort of bring to point is that sometimes reflecting is not going to change the direction of the energy in the way that we would hope. And the folks that have gone through that had the opportunity then to be so present that they tried something and it changed it, it brought it back. And that's all we can do, is to be present enough to do our best in the moment, knowing that perhaps in that, you know, the situation reflecting just isn't going to do it.
To be just as present as we can to what actually is there.
Right, because I just want to acknowledge, I just think that, to me, what I heard and what was described is just being so present to see that, to reflect, you know, just it was heading downhill, and to keep reflecting wasn't going to change that, and to be present enough to put something else out there that seemed true to the practice for them in that moment.
Yeah,
and that's what we're...
It really is. I mean, it's such a practice opportunity, you know, because, I mean, that takes, you know, you just have to leave conditioning behind, basically.
Absolutely.
In order to do that. And you have to take a tremendous risk, and you know you're going to risk a beating, you know,
yep.
Because very likely that's going to happen, and but be willing to do it anyway. You know, I always project that, you know, that when that happens, the person is, you know, is called by something much larger than, you know, like a rule book or something, you know, like in the example we were talking about before, you know, I really want this group to work. And so I'm willing to risk it for the good of the group, knowing that very likely I'm going to get creamed for it later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such, and one thing I saw as you guys were saying that was the other thing is that I feel like this process we're doing of coming together once a week and checking in is such an accountability thing in terms of we can know that, you know, so, if we look at, you know, Tony's example of just, there it is, there's just a thing to say, and she just says it. Let's see how to say it. She knows that she's going to bring that up on this call and talk about it. So if it were something that was just way out there and she just wanted to, you know, whoever, I'll use myself, if I just wanted to, like, be a Zen teacher and go out there and, you know, make stuff happen, and I wouldn't do that in this context because I would know that I was going to be talking to the whole group and it would be obvious that I was way off on my own trip and, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's neat that, in a way, people can use that, if they're willing to, as a safety net in the sense of knowing that in this check-in, if there's feedback that, you know, they need to get, great, they'll get it. It's completely fine. But I guess what I'm saying is, to me, that's just a really good check. Yes, conditioning is going to come at us with, no, that wasn't right, you shouldn't have done that. But that because we have the safety of the integrity of this group, I project that everyone's going to be coming from doing the very best they can, and that the beating is just so always unwarranted, but it's just so far out of place in this situation.
This is Melinda. I just wanted to say I've been sitting here and realizing that what Karen A. and Tony ran into was something that Sherry talks about running into about 90% of the time when she talks to people in groups out there, and how extraordinary to, you know, encounter that so early in your training and know that's going to come up again, and it's probably going to come up for everybody, is what about Hitler? That kind of response to there is nothing wrong. And so it's really kind of fabulous. And I'm also thinking about Sherry's commitment to, if somebody brings something up and I don't know the answer, the next time somebody brings it up, I'm going to know the answer. And I think it's not necessarily about knowing the answer, but knowing, sort of looking inside and kind of knowing how I want to respond to that kind of, when the group takes that kind of direction. And I just was really impressed that folks did as well as they did in redirecting the energy.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to be out there doing that.
Hey, Dave. This is Mickey, and I just wanted to go back again when Deanna was talking just about, you know, reflective listening and the issue of sort of any added, and I just wanted to give a testimonial to the power of reflective listening that I observed this week. When we were doing our key group at the monastery this week, we actually had a new facilitating who was just doing reflective listening. And, you know, we are kind of an easy group to reflect, though, because we all have been up there and kind of are kind to the facilitator. But I was just really newly struck by the power of simple reflective listening. I mean, people got a really good opportunity to see a ton of stuff, and there was nothing else going on but reflective listening. And I went away from there really seeing how much just that can do.
Yeah, that's great, Mickey. I actually didn't have the privilege of being on that conversation, but that has often been my experience in the past. You know, just to watch somebody just do pure reflective listening, it's amazing what can happen out of that, even though they're not bringing anything to it at all.
Dave, this
is Penny.
I just wanted, wanting to comment when Karen A. was talking about her response and Tony was talking about their response. And what struck me was it felt really skillful. And what I saw in that was the ability to help someone who has decided, in a sense, to take issue with the reading, to really, it sounded like, repeat the invitation to just respond to the reading, to look inside to respond to the reading, rather than going up to the head to argue with it. And that both of the responses felt to me like they really helped people do that.
Yeah, it seems so, too. And they both have that judo-like quality of, you know, not kind of like getting into a relationship with it or in opposition to it or any of that, but just kind of letting it slide by, but with in a way that is helps the person pass that and helps kind of focus the energy. Okay, gang, I can't believe it. We're almost out of time already.
Dave, this is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
I had emailed a question earlier this week. Now, I think I had just assumed it would be brought up, but it hasn't been. So should I just bring it up like next week without?
Let me. We might be able to address the one layer of it just right off, Catherine. Your basic question, I think, is how to get guidance if you're getting beat up or if you got conditioning and self-hate happening as a result of the group.
And
isn't that right?
Well, and I'm stuck. You know, I'm seeing some karma, and
right.
I'm stuck.
Well, I think the answer to that is on these calls.
Okay.
I know. I do think, because I feel like that's exactly what we've been doing this evening. We might have to kind of do some work on sort of exactly how to prioritize these different things, make sure they happen. But yeah, you know, I tell you what, Catherine, if you have some specifics about that that you would like to look at, why don't you give us another little email, and I'll make sure that we give you first dibs next week.
Okay. My sense of the calls was what comes up around facilitating and when someone responds in a certain way. And so I was kind of thinking what I'm asking is different, and maybe I'm wrong.
It's not the way I'm thinking about it.
Okay,
I don't know about other people, but I think it's whatever coming up as a part of the facilitation process. And, you know, getting beat up is absolutely a part of the facilitation process.
Okay. All right. So, and I'm sorry, just to reflect, you want me to email and just give you more specific about what's going on? Or?
You don't have to give more specifics in email. Just a, you know, reminder, I got something I want to look at in the call.
Oh, okay. Okay,
and,
great. Thank you.
Dave, this is Ann. I have a quick logistical question. If I want to refer somebody to one of the groups around the country, how do I do that?
Well, it's tricky. If you want to refer to somebody one of the established sitting groups, then that's easy because they're on the website. We're not publicizing the key groups because, you know, we're attempting to make a – probably heard this as you've been listening to the old stuff that we did, but we're making a distinction between, you know, people who already have a lot of facilitation under their belts and have been sort of approved to represent the monastery, you know, those groups are completely public, and, you know, those are, you know, we're putting them out to the Sangha and anybody can come. The idea with the key groups is to kind of keep it more private, so to give people a chance to practice a little without the pressure and the responsibility of being representative of the monastery. So they're not kind of out and about. And, oh, go ahead.
The only people who know about those groups are people who are on our mailing list. Is that how it works?
Well, for the key groups, it's not even that. We're not even putting out to our mailing list. It's like people who the key group coordinator happens to know in their lives.
Oh, okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we'll have to refine this process as we go by. I know that there's quite a number of these, or several of these things at least, that are of a business nature, are either particular to one person, or they could be, they're simple and could be handled just like in an email. So maybe what I'll try to do with Mickey's assistance, if you're willing, Mickey, is see if we can process some of these things outside the call a little bit so we can kind of stay caught up. And then we'll keep working on sort of our format to make sure we know the best way to prioritize kind of the issues that are happening for people.
Okay.
Thanks, Mickey. Thanks a lot. Oh, late arrivals, Melinda was saying. Are there late arrivals on the call who need to be get their name checked off on the roll?
This is Lynette. Yeah. I don't think anybody knows I'm here.
Hey, Lynette, great.
Yeah,
and
Jen Y is here. Sounds like Phil is here.
Yeah, Phil's here. Thanks.
Hey, super.
Teresa's here.
Who was that?
Oh, Teresa's here. Great. Excellent.
Thanks.
And anybody else?
Should I read the ones who didn't say yes one more time quick?
Maybe that's a good idea, Mickey.
Cameron. Caroline. Chris B. Chris L. Jen Latender. Lisa. Lori. Michael. Ramita. Susan.
Okay, super. Well, thanks, everybody. That was fun. It's really neat that everybody's jumping in and participating in this thing. So, Melinda's saying, good crowd. So our next call, I think, is the next Saturday?
I think it's next Friday at 5:30.
Next
Friday at 5:30. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, hopefully we'll be able to talk to everybody then.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.